Hello and welcome to Hockey Development Talk. Today I'm really excited to be at City of York Hockey Club and I'm with Mikey and Linda, who I'm just going to get to introduce themselves. So Linda, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm chair of the club. I've been chair of the club for 8 years now.
Wow. Okay. Mikey?
And I'm the deputy chair and I've been in this role for 3 seasons.
3 seasons, okay. cool. So I just really want to sort of tell the world all about City of York Hockey Club, and the I've seen some amazing work over the 2 years that I've been at England Hockey and working with yourselves, and just really let's just sort of have a look at where you're currently at, what's the challenges, and how you've managed to grow, and hopefully some other clubs might have some questions and get in contact and things like that really. So current status really is, do you want to talk to everybody about what your current status is, how big you are with regards to teams and people participating?
We have 15 senior teams at the moment, split between 9 men's and 6 ladies. There's also about 20 junior teams.
Oh, I was going to do that,
but thrown in. Okay, I'll do that part. It gives us about, membership-wise, about a 50-50 split. On our numbers. Seen pretty good growth in our juniors as well.
Okay. So 15 adult teams is you know, fairly big, very big here in the north anyway. And then junior wise, Linda, you were...
Yeah, we've over 20 junior teams, which teams from under 10s right through to under 16s. Mm-hmm. We also run the under 18s, and they play in the cups, they play in competitions.
Okay. Okay, and then currently clubhouse, which we're in at the moment, we've got the clubhouse here at Elm Park, lovely facility. So you've got this and then other facilities that you obviously use?
Yeah, around York we use various all-weather pitches, AstroTurfs, if you will, because we don't have our own.
A little dig there.
Yeah, a little dig. So we have to obviously rent, you know, pitches around the city, mm-hmm. from various schools and other facilities. That's not unique to us.
No, and not unique to other clubs either, really. I mean, it's a huge part of our game at the moment. So,
And if I could say something about actually our facilities here, I think a big change that has happened over the years is that we work together with the cricket club, who lease from us during the summer, and we hire out for classes to the council.
Oh, okay.
And that's brought us in quite a lot of money, which has allowed us to develop the club, keep it warm, mm-hmm. and pay for lots of improvements.
Just with that within the club and the facility here, obviously City of York Hockey Club, it's part of the charity that's based here. Do you want to explain how that works?
Well, we are an independent charity ourselves, and we own the premises. And of course, we used to play hockey here before.
On that lovely grass field.
Outside. And we used to, in fact, that grass was well known as one of the best cricket and hockey pitches around. So it's very sad, obviously, that we can no longer use it. But the cricket have continued to use it, and so we have to work with them over this facility, which we have to keep on using, so teams have to come back from wherever they're playing around the city to come for teas here.
Okay. So you're a community amateur sports club CASC?
We're not a CASC, we're an unincorporated charity, looking to become incorporated.
Okay, cool. I should have known that. Really. I should have known that. Sorry, it's a big slap on the wrist for me. Fine. Growth-wise, this is the bit that's really astounded me over the time of working with you and sort of looking at the background and the challenges that you've overcome. So just to prepare the listeners, 2008, 2009, you were around about 275 affiliates, which at that time, you know, was fairly large. Mixture of adult and juniors, but more adults than you were juniors back then. 2012, you'd grown to 525, and that was, again, juniors were growing, adults was growing. I assume the university links must have been involved there as well, which I suppose we should have really spoken about in the States. There you have some links to the university.
Yes, we do, particularly University of York. We have had links with St John as well, though we only really get a few players from them.
Okay, and obviously in 2012 then that growth of 275 had gone to 525, which was nice. Last year you were at 670, which is a considerable jump again from 2012, which shows that the work that you'd done post-London and post-Rio was starting to really help. But then this year, we've got to 884 growth, some junior growth within there again, but this time the adult growth's been the biggest one of near 200 there in adults. So do you really want to talk about that growth? I mean, the growth from 2008 to 2018, 19 in 10 years is phenomenal. So I can only say well done, because that is a huge amount of time. And, you know, Linda, you said you've been in the helm for 8 years. So you've only seen a huge part of that.
Yes, I mean, I'm staggered, actually. Yeah. Absolutely staggered. But I think, I mean, we were sort of very much a traditional club to start with, and we did our Saturday hockey. Mm-hmm. And obviously try to develop the juniors. Mm. But I think we've branched out.
Yeah.
And we do a lot more. And our summer hockey is very popular.
Yeah.
And we're now doing two lots of summer hockey. We have an open hockey for anybody who wants to come from any club to join in a seven-a-side mixed. But we also run a tournament.
Oh, okay.
That was started last year.
Yeah.
And that's looking to take off even more this year.
This next year, yeah.
It was sold out in like a week.
Wow. Okay.
Last year, and
was that local teams?
Just local teams coming in, having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, playing in summer. This year, the rumours are that it will be double last year.
I like how you say the rumours. The two leaders of the club. Apparently, the rumours are.
Well, we can't do it all ourselves.
You can't. You're right. Yeah.
You know, we got no crystal ball.
Okay.
But yeah, I think what we offer has expanded as well.
Okay.
So, you know, the walking hockey, the back to hockey.
Yeah.
Those have been a feeder into the adult section tremendously, especially the last 2 years that I've been keeping an eye on it. Also, I admittedly, I think we need to say that our bookkeeping's got better.
yes.
Yeah.
And I think things were falling through the cracks before, hence the lower numbers.
Yeah.
But I think we're a lot more accurate now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we spoke about the numbers, and it totally blew us all away when we were looking at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've gone over it with a fine tooth comb and completely done that. But also the work that was done over the last couple of years with those different opportunities to play and stuff like that have been massive. You talked about back hockey, you talked about walking hockey, but obviously to do that you need to have volunteers.
Yes.
So obviously there's been some changes that within the club, and you know, do you want to talk to the listeners about how that's happened?
Yes, I mean, I think when I first started, there was the exec, and we had people in some of the key roles getting on, such as the fixtures. Mm-hmm. But I think really we've had greater involvement, we've had more people involved. I thought it was very important for more people to be involved in the decision making of the club.
Yeah.
I think we've introduced more particular roles, and we're still continuing to do so. We're always reviewing, and we don't want anybody's role to get too big.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for people. And now we've probably in a better position than we've been in a long time. Some very, very good volunteers. Still, there are areas that are not perfect, but it's an ongoing process.
It is an ongoing process, indeed. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think when the general masses of the club, the membership themselves, when they see, oh, it doesn't look like it's going so good, you know, and it happens in every club, you get this ripple effect, then nobody wants to volunteer.
Yeah.
But as soon as the club looks nice and stable, and is showing good growth and all the rest of it, then volunteers crawl out of the woodwork.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And but also you kind of did do some good work of trying to look at the skill sets of some individuals and trying to figure out that.
Certainly getting the right person in the right role.
Yeah.
And we've learned a lot over the last even 3 or 4 years, haven't we? Just where it works and where it doesn't. And not all of it is working perfectly, but it's certainly a lot better than it was.
Yeah,
and it's a relief to us, because it means there are areas we don't have to worry so much about now. And we can focus on going forwards.
Absolutely. Have you seen that it's been more adult players that have been helping with the volunteers, or has it been junior parents, or is it a mixture?
It's a mixture. Mm. But we have got some good junior parents now. And we've got a good strong junior committee, which has struggled for members for years.
Yeah.
And which is why we've supported from the exec end.
Yeah.
But now they are taking off.
Proactive?
Very proactive, and it's an absolute delight to see what they're achieving.
Okay.
It's almost like they don't need us anymore.
Even I will say, to clearing out our store cupboard.
Right.
Yeah. Which I have to say, is a phenomenal task. You can imagine with the number of teams we have and the amount of goalie kit and all kinds. And mostly our junior chair, actually. But she's just pulled it apart, and it's just fantastic what she's done and what she's found.
So let's talk about some of those programmes then. So the back to hockey and the, obviously the summer hockey. So back to hockey. Does it run all year round or no?
No, we just run a 6 week.
Yeah, and when have you delivered that?
That's in spring, after the end of the season, in May.
Yeah.
We deliver it for 6 weeks.
Okay, and then where do those players go after that?
They have got the option if they want to join the summer hockey.
Yeah.
And obviously the option at the beginning of the season to start playing for teams if they want, or if they want just to come to training.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. You've done it nice and early, in the spring.
Yeah.
It's good weather, hopefully. And straight afterwards,
and
you've got that.
And they can just go straight into it.
Some a little...
of them certainly have.
Yeah, yeah. And it's nice and sociable.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of competitive element. Yeah. It's in the evenings, in a week. It fits nicely. And I think that's a really good way to do it.
Our retention from those that go to the summer hockey after the six-week program into the actual league to becoming a member is relatively high.
Okay.
Because there's quite a social atmosphere built into summer hockey as well. And a fair group go to the local pub down the down the road, which is a couple hundred yards, as you know, from the field we use.
I do, yes.
And they pop in there afterwards and get a Coke or a beer or whatever. And I think that forms a few relationships, a few friendships, and it encourages people to keep coming back all the time.
Healthy environment.
Absolutely.
And that
friendly, warm club.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're drip feeding into them that this is good. You know, you don't have to be out for hours upon ends. It's a little bit by bit. And you're also not too fussed if they do take playing a game. You would like them to train, but obviously once you get them in, hopefully there's more opportunities for them.
So. It's not just hockey, it's the social side as well. Hockey as a sport lends itself to the social side of things. And I think that's where we've had a lot of success with our, you know, and a lot of them do come to our lower teams and there's a really good spirit.
Well, we built the ladies' sevens, not this season gone by, the one before, solely on back to hockey ladies and a few experienced people. It's really good.
And we'll certainly be having seven ladies teams next
season. Yeah, we will.
We're bursting at the seams for ladies.
We'll put it back in again. So we'll have 16 teams.
Okay.
Senior section.
And brilliant.
2021 juniors.
Yeah. So okay.
There should be growth again next year, Gary. I'll say.
I like growth. It keeps me on my toes, and which is great. Also, the thing that I really enjoyed in the summer was the Young Leader Programme, which was obviously set up. I was asked about how could we do it. So, just do you want to tell the listeners how that worked?
We haven't had direct involvement of that, but certainly, really, it was through our fundraising. She drove it.
Yeah.
And I've been very keen for us to continue, because in the past we've actually run some really good sessions for the leadership, and I think it's an important side of hockey for young people to actually take on, not just playing, but actually involved in the sport. And I think it's really good for their own development. And it was popular, and I'm hoping that we're going to continue with that.
I can assure you that it is. The email I've received is that it's definitely going to happen again.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, and what I will say, I think one of the things we've also found, I've certainly found, I've always had support from England Hockey, but the last 3 years, it's changed because we've had much more interaction. We've also met other clubs in forums. I think all of that development that the England Hockey have been doing has been actually a real positive for us as a club, also for sort of hockey in the north.
Yeah, we don't feel so detached, you know, from the south.
Yeah.
Thanks to you, of course, Gary. But the membership feel it, you know, because we're feeding information back. We're going down to events that England Hockey are holding down south.
Big clubs
we're coming
events.
Back with information and excitement, and it's feeding down into the membership, and then they themselves don't feel just them lot down there, you know.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that belief that we're one England at the end of the day does stimulate people to say, oh well, you know, we're not just fighting for our own little club. There's more to it.
There's a couple of things there, and thank you for mentioning there about the work that England Hockey are doing, because you know, I've there is some pressure at times to try and help things along, and I'm glad, and these sort of numbers that we're seeing and the stuff that I've seen as the club as a whole grow is really, you know, fills me full of confidence at times as well, which is great to hear. But you know, a couple of things there, you know, your membership, you're very kind to invite me to your club dinner, and I got to speak to various people there. And again, it was just trying to find out what their current thoughts were. And to be honest, just be able to have that chat to a lot of them was really intriguing about what sort of support they felt that the club needed, the support that the club had already got, the bit they were thankful for, the bit that they still need to drive on. Pretty much everyone was saying the same thing, which is we struggle for volunteers, but actually we've got more volunteers than we did before. Mm. So yes, it was kind of that merry-go-round about how you do it, but people have less time, they want to help, we could help. It was really nice to sort of see, and the club feel on that evening for myself was that, you know, everyone's pulling together here. Everyone's pulling together, everyone wants the same thing, everyone was enjoying a beer. It was very sociable, and for me as an outsider, it looked like a really healthy club and an environment to be in. Yes, it was and obviously your celebratory evening and stuff like that, but you know, I didn't get too much grief from your club as an outsider coming in, which was great. So even though we did beat your men's first team to the league title, so the second thing you mentioned was around the big clubs conferences or the other conferences that you've attended as well within England hockey. Yeah. So obviously some of that would have helped growth. So is there anything that you've taken away from some stuff there that you think you've implemented?
Yeah,
I'm putting you on the spot now.
Thing was a sense of belonging.
Yeah. Okay.
That actually we're all one big hockey family.
Yeah.
And I think particularly also with the successes clearly of the England teams, I think it's just been great. We've shared out who's gone down. Various senior officials of the club have gone down, and they've always come back absolutely fired about, you know, where we want to go and what we want to do.
Yeah.
So I think that contact is good, and I hope it continues. Because we like to pass information on through to our members, and I think it's good for them to see that actually we are working with England Hockey, and we're all one big hockey family, and it's clubs working together as well.
Yeah, those other clubs are really key, aren't they? The conversations that you can have at those type of events are really useful. You know, this year England Hockey did put on the big clubs conference, but then they put on loads of other little conferences as well, and you know, the feedback I got back from the northern clubs that went to different things was it was really useful to chat to clubs of a similar nature. Mm. Yes, they're all over the country in different places, but they got some stuff to come and drip feed back in. Now, you know, yourselves, you've probably listened to other clubs give talks and stuff like that. So, is there anything that you've heard that you thought, oh, that's something that we definitely needed to do?
Yeah, Gary, there certainly is. There's one club, I want to say southeast of London, who have now got a guy from Holland, who's their chairman.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Yes, he was for me...
London Wayfarers, was he the guy with the umpiring, do you mean?
That's right, where he literally managed to get his entire club to go on an umpiring course.
Yeah.
How he did that, I still don't know, but that was inspirational because, you know, it brought me back to the north, back to the club, and speaking to the umpire coordinators and saying, guys, get anybody you can find and get them on a course.
Yeah.
They might not ever use it,
but
when we need them, they've got it.
Yeah.
And it has stimulated a little bit extra, but you know, as always, you find as the fixtures sometimes don't work out in the short
term. Absolutely. Actually, I did a podcast earlier with the... umpire relationship or officiating relationship manager David, and one of his discussions was around London Wayfarers. So if people haven't listened to that, then I would suggest listening to that, because actually what they've done as a club was really remarkable. Not every member was forced, but obviously it is what he mentioned was over in Holland that it was when they get to a certain age, every player goes through the officiating stage, and it's you have to do it. The guy wanted to sort of bring it in, but realised actually there was going to be quite a resistance against that. So instead of saying there's these courses here, he's putting them on regularly at their clubhouse. He's then also putting on little evenings where they can come and watch clips and stuff like that. So yeah, there were lots of things to take away. I was at that talk and it was it was something which I found quite eye opening in the fact of it was kind of hardball in the fact of we will do this, but everybody had agreed to it.
Yes.
So
I think it does take time to win over the general consensus. But once something like that does get traction, it will just grow organically. Something will happen. We're using our clubhouse now for more things much more often. Maybe double what it was 3 years ago. Events every month, you know, other little things going on. We have all our meetings here now instead of in a pub somewhere. We're considering, this is the exciting part about using our facilities, opening, because we only open on Saturday. We're hockey and we play somewhere else. And then meetings. Now we're thinking about opening officially on another night in the week and extending the range of the people we get in, because the cricketers are also, during the winter, they're sitting around, they're going, we've got nowhere to go. And we say, well, we'll come open along. The clubhouse.
Absolutely.
If you do it for us in summer.
Which I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. So, okay. Obviously, we've had forums up here, which you've been very kind to host. Do you feel that that's been beneficial, getting other North Yorkshire clubs coming and talking and chatting and building relationships?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's been really good, because I think it changes your attitude. I think the old-fashioned way is that there was always this competition between clubs and being protective of players and what's going on. But I think the forums have made it so much more open. We've had such a sharing of thoughts and ideas, a sharing of the same problems, a sharing of successes. And I think every club that's come to us here felt like we did, that they've got so much out of it.
It's really helpful. It's always been quite nice, actually. You know, you're up here and you listen to the challenges, and then another club's gone, well, actually, we've dealt with that and we've done it this way. And then club will talk about their success and you go, oh, how have you done that? And it's been really, for me, it was really interesting coming up. And obviously we've, you know, the likes of Scarborough, Selby, Thirsk, all sharing those ideas. You know, there's been others as well, obviously, but those three coming in have all got different ways and means of doing things and have different demographics, different geography to be able to deal with. You know, Scarborough, talk about their beach hockey program is amazing, but actually, you know, how can you replicate that when you're in York and you've got no beach? But the idea, the concept can... Can just be words. And I know that summer hockey is...
Well, that's they come to us for summer hockey. We can go to them for beach hockey.
And again, great. Absolutely great that you're working together. There's not that competition. It's a, how can we help each other here and support? Obviously, growth as well, I'm assuming. With all the growth, you've had to have coaches, helpers.
We're always wanting more coaches. We're always encouraging people.
So how's that happened? You know, because obviously, to get a coach... You don't have the money all the time to be able to go, we're just going to get this person to come in, but you need to be able to develop them. And I suppose one thing is, this year you were able to run your own Engaging Games for Children workshop, 3 hours, 20 people were on
excellent,
that.
Excellent, yes.
Most of those were from the club. I'm assuming that's helped, which we can talk about.
Yeah,
but
set us up.
To get there, you know, you last year you were still at 670 with over, you know, 300 kids, 350 kids. You still got to have the coaches. You've got over 300 adults. You still need the coaches.
Yes.
So how did that happen when you were only at 275 sort of 10 years ago? You know, you've got to build the players, but also build the coaching base.
And it's a challenge.
It has been
still
a challenge.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously that many years ago, I was playing hockey in another country. But the similarities exist. This is not a unique England issue. But I think in my time that more parents are more involved with their children's sport. Growth, I think, has come from the fact that they're getting the kids off the sofa, taking them by the hand, putting them in the car, and going down and staying down at the side of the field and encouraging the kids. Then all of a sudden it overflows to mom and dad, who go, well, hang on, I am here. I'm just standing around getting cold. Let me get out on the field and help. And through that, we've seen a good handful of parents put their hands up and go, yeah, we can help out. And then you get helpers, which become coaches. And hopefully, some of them are ex-players, some of them become players. And that's where the growth happens.
And some even just pick up umpiring. So, that's been, it's really good to see it. And something we sort of try to encourage. I think also we struggled for years with a coaching coordinator. Really finding somebody who was going to take the role by the hands properly.
Yeah.
And I think that's starting to come into place.
So what does a coaching coordinator do for City of York? How does it?
Yeah, well, before it was just a matter of keeping a record on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Now it's been proactive.
Yeah. Okay.
Proactive and trying to get people involved. And I mean, I was delighted we had so many on that coaching course. I'm hoping that we can continue to do that and have more.
Yeah, coach development has obviously been key. And I suppose the coaching coordinator then, does she organise who's coaching and where?
She takes a share in it.
Okay.
But obviously we've got the junior section. They have to fill with their coaches. We've got the senior section. It's still not easy.
Yeah.
We could still do with more coaches.
Yeah.
And I think as you continue to grow, obviously you keep on wanting and needing more coaches.
So she's keeping everything up to date.
But that's right. Now we've been able to take just a bit of a step back and see it start to develop now.
Amazing. Brilliant. Okay, so ultimately the club growth's been fantastic. It's been a mix of juniors and adults, so there's not been one focus. But obviously, the initial focus, I assume, was to just try and obtain those links. So 2008, 2012, I assume that there was some kind of movement with getting adults in and maybe those links to the university. Is that when they first
links
came in?
Links to the university helped.
Yeah.
Often it's just almost by word of mouth as well. People find out that we're here and that actually because we're such a big club, we can offer hockey at whatever level.
Albeit
at the senior end, and so we know we have expansion at the senior end, the first teams, but also really I think we've seen a lot lower down and a lot more social hockey.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Participation.
Yes, absolutely.
For fun.
Are we easy to find? You know, being a big club, you're all over the media, social media, we're in the newspaper. Easy to find.
Mm.
But that's more so, again, through the years. That we've with social media developing the way it has, it's given us more opportunities to be able to put ourselves out there.
Do you think that London and Rio helped at all for you?
I think there has to be some knock-on effect.
Yeah.
Yes, because it was just fabulous.
Yeah.
And that's sort of about the celebration. And lots of people who'd never watched hockey spoke to me and said, you know, when they realised I was a hockey player, how much they'd enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I think there was, to some extent, but not by no means not all of that.
There was a bit of a spike, if I can remember it, in young females, young girls starting right after Rio.
Yeah.
There was a bit
which is no surprise, is it?
No, but I think that was across the country probably.
Yes, it was, yeah.
I know the boys also sparked a little bit after the men's success. What did they get, a semi-final? Can't remember.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
See a little pip on the numbers initially after these successes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take it, you know, because that does help us retain a certain number.
Yeah, and obviously last year, some of the success going from 6-7 to 8-8-4, you put on a huge amount of activities through the Your World Cup programme, which was, you know, I will name her, through Jenny, and through putting on loads of activities which she coordinated with me, who was putting on what, the numbers and everything else. You know, she put on some fantastic activities. You know, the walking hockey program.
Yeah.
You know, the come and give it a go sessions.
Yeah.
So the numbers were fantastic, and you know, obviously that's helped.
It has
enormously, are very grateful.
Club day, Sam Ward came.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah. Especially when he got dunked.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Yeah.
You know, our club days are fantastic.
You know, I've seen a lot of club days where it's just people turn up. They play a competition. It's not really sort of, you know, if a newbie come along, it might not be what they want. Your club day is quite different, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite different. You know, there's space hopper hockey.
There is.
There's other things. So do you want to explain how your club day works?
Okay. So 10:30 in the morning, all the juniors arrive.
Yeah.
As many as we can squeeze on the field at once.
Yeah.
And mum's, dad's, aunts, uncles, dogs, cats, the lot pitch up.
Yeah.
And we just run loads of small-sided games
yeah.
right through the morning, space hopper and
Make it fun.
Yeah.
Just so it's not a lot of fun. It's just taking part, having fun.
Yeah. And there's not like a big selection process or anything stringent like that. It's all just fun.
Yeah.
And we invite, obviously, some retailers to come as well. That keeps people in and out of the shops.
Have barbecue.
We do. Yes, we do.
Drinks.
And obviously, if we can get the dunking tank again.
Yeah.
in it. But it's all just a load of fun until about 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then the juniors filter away and the seniors all come in. It's a little bit more regulated.
Yeah.
Senior, so we don't get... Senior plays at 14 years of age.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So we don't really want to mix in with the first teamers. So we do try and split the groups up. So they're playing with their own ability, which is cool. And we just play that right through the day and swap them around and make it... It is fun. It's lighthearted. There's nobody's keeping score. But it does attract a lot of people to come down.
Yeah.
It also gives some of the selection panels... chance to have a look at a few players that have been earmarked perhaps for promotion into top teams and keep an eye on them. And I know it has helped the selection panels definitely pick it out or do some preliminary selection for the season. And everybody goes away happy.
And and it's an opportunity to buy kit.
So
they can put orders for their kit. Also you can buy your Astro boots and whatever else, hockey sticks. So there's quite a lot going on to really sort of get the season going.
Did I also see though you had some other fun activities that were slightly off the pitch as well? Obviously you mentioned your dunking tank, but other bits.
We do a tombola.
Sometimes shooting into a goal.
Year before last, we had a speed gun. We did some drag flicks. So every year we create a whole bunch of activities that keeps people
on and off the pitch,
and we position them nicely between the change rooms and the pitch. And keeps everybody busy over time. They all spend some money and enjoy themselves. And
it's a day out.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
And I've seen in my time a growth in club day numbers. And also gives us an opportunity to write down how many people are there.
And what I will say, that when I took over as chair 8 years ago, we didn't have anything like that. And that was one of the things that I really wanted us to achieve, to start the season with a bang, with an opportunity to people to, you know, may not have been playing summer hockey, say, to pick up a hockey stick, just come down and just join in with whatever was going on. And it actually has over the years. It's just grown.
It's fantastic to hear. So, you know, from me, there are some loads of things that you've done over the last 2 years that I've been, you know, able to come and visit and work with you guys as part of my role. It's just a huge well done. You know, you deserve that growth. And the numbers that are there now just show all the hard work that's gone on from exec to the volunteers down in the coaching area to the, you know, the fundraising and the sponsorship stuff that's going on. And, you know, some unbelievable stuff now. And I would say to any club that just want to know or want to get in touch that, you know, don't hesitate to do that. And hopefully you're okay with that. Yeah. But, you know, you've really sort of shaped the club and you've managed each step of the way. There's never been, from what I can see through numbers, been a gradual bit by bit, chuck by chuck. You've gradually just done it. You've not gone out there and gone, right, we're going to do 10 things. You've got out, you've got one, two things maximum.
You have to have some targets, some things you're aiming for. You have to have some idea of time scale. But you've also got to be flexible. And sometimes it takes a bit longer than you expect, but you just have to sort of go with it, just trying to keep your eye on sort of your targets to the end.
For sure. So before we go into the future, the plans, the dreams that we might have, challenges. I'm really conscious that we need to talk about some of these challenges. So do you want to pick a couple of challenges that have, over the years, cropped up and how have we overcome them?
Well, I can start with one of the things that I think concerned me in my early days, and that was that we were really like two clubs. We had a junior section, basically getting on with themselves, and we had a senior section, and really the exec was sort of overseeing the senior section, and I didn't think that was very healthy, because obviously you've got progression and what you want is progression from the juniors through to the seniors, but you also want involvement, just not at playing level, but also umpiring and coaching. So I really wanted to see us as one club. I knew it wasn't going to be an overnight success. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to take some hard work. Mm-hmm. But gradually, we've chipped away at it. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot to support the junior section. I always felt we had to have people from the exec there. And then gradually,
yeah,
we've got that. And I can now say we are one club.
Yeah.
We're now going to have the one club bank accounts rather than separate bank accounts. Okay. And although it's important that both sections can financially support themselves, it's much nicer to think of us all working together.
Yeah.
And I think we've actually got
there at last.
I think
it's really, really good for the junior section to be able to see that there is something beyond under 14.
Mm-hmm.
There's under 16, you know, and so on, into the senior club.
Yeah.
This first team.
Mm-hmm. Does your men and ladies throughout the club, do they have an involvement in the junior section as well?
There is overlap.
Yeah.
There's overlap with coaching.
Mm. Yeah.
Sometimes overlap with umpiring, mm-hmm. if they want help.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, quite a lot of our juniors are playing senior hockey.
Yeah.
So there's a big overlap there, and obviously one of the challenges is for them to seamlessly come through and move up into the senior section.
The pathway.
We've got the Badgers team that we earmark all the really good ones. We put them in that team so they can play together, and then from there they go into the senior sections, the ladies and the men's.
Okay.
The Badgers has been a great success.
Great success. Yeah. And two seasons back we formed a men's development, which is our men's eighth team, and that has been tremendously successful.
So is that Badgers to development, and then you move your way?
Yeah, move your way up then.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely, haven't quite identified that in the ladies section yet, which team, but if you wanted to put a number on it, that would probably be our ladies fives.
Right, okay.
And then because keep the kids together as well.
Yeah.
There's usually a dad playing with or a mom playing with. Okay. They can, so travel is sorted out. That's also a challenge, is getting everybody to the fields.
Yes. Obviously, with you being across different sites as well, I mean, training being at different times, I suppose that's a challenge. So just before we go into that, just coming back to that. So with the progression through the teams, it's really important that you've been able to engage with parents to allow that to happen and ensure that's happening. So I suppose, how do you approach that with the parents? How do you approach them sort of supporting that? There might not be a quick win here. It's just a question that, again, that I've just thought of whilst you're talking through. So
the communication has been a challenge.
Yeah.
And that's not only with parents.
Mm-hmm.
To generalize a little bit, we've stepped up our communication tremendously over the last 3 years, utilizing various avenues.
Mm.
But we do recognize that we're still missing out a lot of people.
Right.
And it's the moms and dads, to bring it back to that.
Yeah.
They're just not seeing it, or they couldn't be bothered, or something. So we're always looking at connecting parents. Mm-hmm. So our Facebook numbers are up.
Yep.
Our Instagram numbers are up. Our Twitter numbers are up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. After not really having a Twitter account a few seasons back, they're all up, which means that we've got more engagement at that level from parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of feel it because all of a sudden you look around the clubhouse and there are more moms and dads in the clubhouse down the side of the field. And the only reason is because they're seeing what's happening. And they're bringing the kids with.
Okay. One of the interesting points for me was, again, you guys invited me to your junior presentation day, or evening, actually. And the parents there were really positive about the engagement that had happened with them at training. They were getting more and more information when they were at training. So do you have like a parent liaison officer, or is how's that happening? Because generally I don't know, and it's something I've not actually come back to until you've mentioned it there. So they're obviously seeing and obtaining information more at training. So somebody's talking to them at training, however that is.
Yes, through coaches.
Yeah.
And we're getting better at getting the coaches together.
Right.
And working. Still not perfect,
no.
And we've still got more ideas for next season, but we're getting much better at joining things up.
There was a time where we wanted to phase them away from paper sideline entry forms and enrollment forms and get them to go online, and through that there was a lot of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking, why are we doing this, what are we doing it for? and that created a communication. And it spreads very quickly.
Yeah.
The parents all know each other, and they're talking, and it does spread. And I think that coach-to-parent engagement, there was more to talk about.
Yeah.
And that is just maintained.
Yeah. No, that's really positive. So that challenge there of all being one is not been overcome, but 90% of it is there.
We're a long way there. And I think next year, when we get our new website sorted out, I think we can safely say.
But to do that, there's been a number of things, hasn't there? A lot of things.
We've got a new treasurer this year, and she's treasurer of the club and the whole club. We've still got a few things to sort out.
To marry up.
But it will all be done before the start of next season.
Brilliant. So, any other challenges that we've overcome? Facility. Oh, I'll be out there. Facility.
Well, if only.
Okay, so before we go into the future and the plan and the dream, facilities has always been a challenge, but it's better now than what it was, you know, a while back.
We do have a better relationship with the uni, you know, for use of their grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that comes when you rent more from them, they kind of like you more.
Yeah, well, you're giving them more money. So,
But, yeah, we've always had a challenge, you know, not having our pitches at our clubhouse, getting around the city. We're fortunate that the city's not very big.
No, it's still hard, though, isn't it, to get around? You
it's
know,
still
I
very
say,
difficult
yeah.
to get right
yeah.
across from
yeah.
one side.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
side
yeah.
So we've always had, it's an ongoing challenge, which we just try and manage as best as possible by making this venue as welcoming as possible, putting on all the sports events that are happening on a Saturday, a lot of football, a lot of rugby, a lot of cricket.
Yeah,
put it all on. Yeah. Let people have a reason to come back here besides, I have to host the opposition. And keep the bar prices real, you know, and get silly. And it does definitely put people in back in the clubhouse. Okay. And I think that's improved.
Yeah. Your own facility being used more has definitely helped.
That has helped.
Yeah.
But we've never lost the fact that we have aspirations to have at least two pitches with a clubhouse together, because that would make just so much difference to the club.
Yeah, which we will definitely explore in a moment when we talk about that future dream. So but also Huntington School, you must pretty much maximise that pitch out.
We do. Five matches on a Saturday every Saturday, and we use it all through the week.
Yeah. How many evenings a week are you using?
If they gave us more time,
we
would take it.
Right. Okay.
Because that would take training away from the uni. To Huntington. But there are other sports disciplines that are utilising it. So we take what they give us.
But you're trying to maximise a couple of facilities rather than trying to utilise more than, because there is obviously more than an offer. So what you've done is you've kind of streamlined what you're going to use. Right, we're going to use X, Y, Z, but actually we're going to put as much as we can in there. Yeah. We're going to put as much as we can in there.
Mm.
That's also helped with coaching, I assume.
Of course it
has.
Yes, I think it has. I mean, we still have junior coaching spread around a bit, because obviously we can fill pitches every night.
Yes.
Give us two more pitches.
I'll just pull them out. No
but
problem.
We do look at Huntington as being our really home ground, because they have been very kind to us, and we want to continue supporting them.
So the challenge there was actually building a relationship with them, I suppose, in some respects. So that's had to happen, hasn't it?
That's happened. Oh, yeah.
So I think facility-wise, building a relationship with your facility provider has been key. Both facility providers in the university and also Huntington. Because without a good working relationship, you wouldn't be able to utilise what they've got as well.
They're very good to us.
Yeah.
But you're
good to them in the fact that you communicate with them.
We obviously give them a lot of money. And by that token, that you know, they try to accommodate us as much as they can.
They've been great because the relationship's got better.
So do you sit with each facility at any point through the year? Do you?
Especially the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
The rest is just emails and text messages. But at the beginning, we sit with each facility, work out what they can give us, so we can then put that into our training schedule. That's streamlined. That gives us no headaches. As long as it's done early enough, they like it to be done as early as possible. We always say to them, we'll take the lot. They'll go, no.
Okay.
We had a couple of other challenges, which if you've got a few minutes to add.
We've got all the time in the world, yeah, don't worry.
One is finding staff to run the facility, the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, we've had volunteers, we've had captains allocate players to go behind the bar and serve drinks, you know, be a caterer, cook food, serve food, all those problems. And recently, we have got Catherine Barber, who put her hand up very kindly and said, well, I can run your clubhouse. She pretty much said it like that as well. And we went, are you sure? And to be honest, she has been a revelation. Yeah. And, you know, for clubs out there that are having the same problem, they don't have full-time staff behind a bar or, you know, are just utilizing moms and dads and volunteers. Try and find that one person.
Yeah.
Keep at it, keep at it. There is that person out there that can just turn it around for you. Mm-hmm. And we don't worry about the clubhouse anymore. In half a season, I don't even worry about it.
We've always paid somebody to be behind the bar for some continuity on a Saturday. But it was actually taking sort of ownership.
Mm.
Yeah.
And just handing the whole thing over. And it's just been blissful.
And everything's improved. You know, the amount of people in here has improved. The freshness of the stock has improved.
Nice.
The warmth of the clubhouse, because somebody's opening up early. So that has been for us a challenge that we've overcome.
Yeah.
Really, really happy about that. And probably the biggest one, before we get on to finding new facilities, was collecting subscriptions.
Yes.
Annual membership.
Mm-hmm.
An ongoing issue with every club that there ever was and ever will be. And the only way we got over that was actually to be quite rough with the membership and say, if you haven't paid by a certain date, you won't be selected and implement it.
Mm-hmm. But it's online.
We are online now.
Yeah.
It was getting people to actually go online and fight their way through a registration process, which is really, really easy. But when you are reluctant to do it, it's a hassle.
Of course.
But through education,
we
managed to get, I would say, easy 95% of our subscriptions collected through our website this season.
Okay.
So you're always going to have a handful.
Yeah.
That.
And I think juniors will certainly be more successful. Sorry, the seniors are more successful, but we've still got to just improve on the junior side.
Okay. We're improving the software that we use next year, which is even simpler. To register and pay, and that then allows the parents to do it on behalf of a child.
Right.
Where the current one wasn't as easy as that.
Right. Okay.
So definitely a huge challenge that we got over, is to find the right software.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of work in the background, I have to say, and I know Mike is spent.
Do you want to
many
are you allowed to name the software? I don't
if you say so.
Name.
So we're currently with Club Buzz.
Yeah.
And it has some problems around family memberships and junior memberships.
Yeah.
And that we're using that as a separate item for annual subscriptions.
Yeah.
Then we use Slate to collect our match fees.
Okay. And Slate something that you buy or?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
They take a small fee of every of every transaction.
Okay.
So it's actually quite expensive in the scheme of it all.
Yeah.
But it's automated and the captains that use it absolutely love it.
Right.
Because they don't have to go from player to player to player to player. Give me your money, give me your money, give me your money. They don't have to carry change.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's all automated. It's connected.
On an app.
Pretty much like if you take an Uber
into
town and you go, there's my credit card in the background. Click pay. It's done.
That's match fees as well.
Match fees. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can put a curry night on there as well.
You can
also put the annual dinner on there.
Right.
And as long as the captains then select those people to that event you've created, then they can pay through their bank account. Brilliant. The captains that have taken it up absolutely love it. But now we're going to move, funny enough, we're moving back to Pitch Hero.
Okay.
Which is actually those two functions all rolled into one.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Another one, that challenge we have is that captains tend to use all different methods of communication to their team. and we could probably sit all night and name them.
No, we better not do that.
But with, again, and we found that this was a problem because we couldn't see who they were selecting. Mm-hmm. There wasn't that visibility that other captains needed or the selection mm-hmm. committees needed. So going back to Pitch Hero, it's got like a built-in WhatsApp. Mm. Into it, you can text and message. Mm-hmm. So it's rolling all of these third-party apps all into one.
Yeah,
and that's Pitch Hero's success, is that they've created this, and if you know or you don't know, they've actually taken over Fixtures Live,
right?
And okay. Teemo or Teemer or Teemap, or one of those okay. teamy things.
Yeah.
And what it does for us is it eliminates all of this third-party apps. It puts all of your payments, both match fees and subscriptions, all onto one platform.
Right.
And having tested it myself for a mom or a dad having three kids, playing or non-playing themselves, it creates a family package which is very easy to pay.
Beautiful.
Where okay. before. So this is a huge step for us going forward. We are all excited. Because and it takes care of juniors where the current slate environment doesn't.
Right. Okay.
And also it means that selection and communication and all the captain side of it, everything can be consistent with every team.
Okay.
One club again.
Yeah, one club. Yeah. Well, it's been lovely here talking about like the way where you're currently at, obviously the growth, the challenges and the few ways that you've overcome that. So just to finish, we've got a couple of minutes here just to finish. The future, the plan. What is the plan? We need to sort of quickly go through that, I suppose.
So we're still very, very keen to pursue facilities by whichever way we can.
Yeah.
A feasibility study revealed that there were not enough hockey pitches to feed the demand in the city.
Yes.
So the council are aware of that. That was a council-funded project.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still looking at all different possibilities.
Yep.
And we have a facility development group that are working on that at the moment. They're due to have another meeting soon to try and see exactly where we are again, where we go next.
And facility relationship manager at England Hockey has been helpful within that, do you feel? Or
yes.
Well, he was until
that
change came.
Yeah,
so,
that change came. Yeah, yes, because then you've got somebody new.
Yeah, Jamie is in, and Jamie's definitely keen to be involved again. So obviously we had Gary previously.
That's right.
So double pitch site with an Astro is double pitch site with a clubhouse is what we really do need. Okay.
There are a few sites obviously that we've earmarked that can handle that. In our area.
And that may be working with other sports, isn't it? And stuff like
that. Yeah, well, I mean, that would be the ideal, really. Yeah. I don't think you should
multi-sport facility.
We're not that far away from that as it is, you know, having cricket and hockey here, and you might or might not know, but we also give some land for football to be played.
Yes,
And so we already got that, and we rent the room out for Pilates and bits and bobs, so... And there was talk about netball on the on the back of the car park over here. So there's still a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Trying to create that multi-sport facility.
Yeah.
We just need it to be bigger.
With artificial pitches that
we can play
on.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So that's the next steps. Well, I really am really excited about that journey and what we can do to sort of help create that. But hopefully the listeners have got a feel about what City of York's all about and how you've sort of grown in that last 10 years, and hopefully they'll be in touch. So from me, thank you for your time. We will definitely meet up and chat through again with hopefully if this podcast works, we may get a few listeners that they'll then call in and we can have a little chat with them around a few things, or they send through questions. But thank you very much for your time.
Thanks Gary.